Walkie's our preaching tonight.
Bye.
Travis, Doug, Josh, Caleb, us.
Man, I clicked on it and it wouldn't open up, so I kept clicking it before it popped up. Now I'm great. But I'm only going to put it all in one. Because I can't.
I don't know how you gonna do that, man.
I can do a short description.
How you gonna do the? How you gonna split them up,
though? I can't. I'll have to do the whole video and just in the description.
What you can do is,
I mean, not the description. Normally, whenever if I write a title to a sermon, it has too long to say. Add more like to add a sermon title in. But you can only add two verses.
I wouldn't know how to do this.
What if I did in the description? I did all the...
Yeah.
But what about this?
Well, you could put the description, all of it in there. Like, Josh Barr, Jeremiah 33:3, Thomas Hawkins, the description, and the title.
What about the speaker? Because I think you have to do it.
Put the pastor, and there's the title sermon. Yeah. And don't start this until they come out and kind of knowing if they're going to start the service, because I don't know how long they're going to be. It's already going on.
Thank you.
Wait, so you don't even have a sermon ready?
Celebrate the pastor. text and said, hey, let's do a 2 o'clock service, then man, y'all about to come undone. I ain't never heard so much loud talking. Listen, when people preach, we need just as much as they can. It's not good. Anyway, moving on. Fall Festival, October 31st, you help us out with that. A lot of people, man, we've got so much candy in this free office. We thank all those who have donated toward that. If you can help us out by doing a game or signing up with a chili cook on and whatnot, please help us out. That'd be wonderful. And then the Closer Walk Sunday School Class Party is going to be at 5 o'clock on November 7th at the Hawkins House. If you need directions, you just ask them, they'll help you out. Don't forget Miss Bree's baby shower. That's going to be on the 14th of November, 11 o'clock here at the church. Is that right? We'll be here. Amen. Ladies, y'all have a good amen, amen, amen. All right. All right. The chat should come to us. anyway, she's going to be playing in regards to things for the fellowship. You've got to know.
Choir will not have practice this evening.
Five minutes each. But I did tell them I might hold my telling me they blow a horn whistle. If you went every 5 minutes, you wouldn't write the Lord. I said, I ain't gonna be like that, but just do the best you can for 5 minutes. Amen? So we got 5 of them for the Josh. I'm gonna let you kick us off tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll encourage you while he preaches.
Amen.
Amen. Hurricane be itself, the Lord tells us to go feed somebody else. I'm thankful we serve a God that will supply our needs. Amen. Brother Thomas, you ready? Brother Thomas, you're used to preaching short in the prison. Amen. You just got to take what they give you, don't you? Amen. Brother Thomas, I appreciate you.
Verse here, just make a couple applications and points again. Thank y'all. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here today. And thank the Lord for all he's done in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. And I use this verse often when I present ministry because I believe it does well to describe an inmate and what we're doing in our ministry and who we're trying to reach. But I want to focus especially on the latter few words of this verse. The Bible says here, now we exhort you, brethren, the Apostle Paul is encouraging them or instructing them to do a few things here. Notice he says here, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. And notice this last part, be patient toward all men. And this afternoon I'd like to preach a quick message entitled, Constant in Pursuit. Constant in Pursuit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given me today. I pray you fill me with your spirit to ease these nerves today. Lord, help us not so much to watch the clock, but be sensitive to you. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. That term, be patient toward all men, or the phrase, be patient toward all men, the term patient simply means constant in pursuit. And I think sometimes in our lives we need to realize that there are some things that you and me as believers ought to be pursuing. Let me say number one quickly this afternoon, that number one, we as believers ought to be pursuing sinners. Sinners. We ought to be seeking after the souls that God has put in front of us to win for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just this last week, I'm not bragging on myself, but the Lord allowed me two opportunities to pursue sinners. You say, what do you mean by pursue sinners? Well, I noticed my neighbor across the way was a lost man. He does not attend church. He doesn't know Christ as Savior. I've had a few conversations with him about the Lord, but he's been very cold in those conversations. Well, I noticed my neighbor going to the mailbox. So you know what I did? I was constant in pursuit. I walked across the road. I started up a conversation with him. And the conversation did not go in the direction I wanted it to. But I did get this in the conversation. It is appointed unto man wants to die. Then on Wednesday night, we were coming to church. And I noticed across the way on Wednesday night, there was a gentleman named the Chick-fil-A that had one of those signs up. Homeless needs help. So I was able to get my Chick-fil-A and go through the drive-thru and then go to the Burger King parking lot. And you know what I did? I pursued that individual by the name of William and was able to witness to him for a few minutes. And so I think quickly this afternoon, we as believers ought to be constant in our pursuit for sinners. I don't know who the Lord's going to put in your path this week. I don't know who the Lord's going to put in my path this week. But we ought to pursue those sinners that God allows us to cross paths with. Secondly, we ought to be constant in pursuit of strays. Of strays. You said, what are you talking about? Well, many of you know my daughter Vivian has gotten a dog named Betty White. And I tell you, I never imagined in a million years us having a dog, but we have a dog now. But if that dog was ever to stray, guess what Daddy would do? He would constantly pursue that dog and do his best to find it. I think about many times in the Christian life, in the life of the church, there are those that go astray. And we fail to pursue them. We fail to seek those men out. I think about the Lord. What did he do? He left on 99 and went after the one. And I think about how that we need to realize that there are those that have fallen away. There are those prodigal sons and those prodigal daughters and those people who have messed up their lives or made mistakes who used to be faithful to the house of God and things of God. And we as believers, we as Christians, we ought to care about them, not forget about them, and pursue those strays. And then let me say thirdly this afternoon, we ought to be constant in pursuit of the Savior. Constant in pursuit of the Savior. Understand this, God opens our heart, God seeks us out, God comes to us where we are as sinners, but once salvation has come, I believe we as believers ought to pursue a greater relationship with the Lord. We're told in James chapter 4 and verse number 8 that if we draw nigh to God, he will what? Draw nigh to us. I think about many times in our lives we forget to pursue our relationship with the Lord. As a husband, I am commanded to pursue my wife, to look after her, to maintain a relationship with her, to show her love and kindness and caring. Well, we ought to do the same towards our Savior. We ought to be constantly pursuing our Savior. Our desire ought to be more to know more about Jesus.
I say this afternoon, sometimes we need to be patient with our own selves, pursuing what we need to do in our lives concerning our sanctification, concerning our relationship with the Lord. If we're not careful, we get busy with family, we get busy with ministry, we get busy with work, and we fail to remember that we have a responsibility to pursue a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To pursue an understanding of what His will is for our lives, what His direction is for our lives, and what our service is to be for Him. And so I leave you with a thought this afternoon. Constant in pursuit. Constant pursuing sinners. Constant in pursuing strays. And constant in pursuing the saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Doug, you ready?
Sure. First of all, I'd just like to say thank you for the birthday dinner.
close as you can. What's so great is that that's what He desires.
Yeah.
He desires closeness. Yeah, He came to forgive us of our sin. He came to be the substitution for our sin. But you know why He wanted sin out of the way? So He could be close.
Yeah.
What an amazing Savior.
Amen.
He's so good.
Yeah,
He's so good. He did all that. He came. He bled and died. He rose again. All those things. Gave us the Holy Ghost. Right in here. I mean, last time I checked, you can't get no closer than right in here. So I want to encourage you today, stay close.
Amen.
Stay close, because it doesn't take much to get far off.
Amen.
My coworkers.
convicting that when I see the multitude, sometimes I don't have compassion. Your Christian flesh, if you will, stirs up. And you just get fleshly. You do. You should. Paul said the things that I should do, I don't. The things I would do, I should. I can't remember all that right now, but you get the point. He said, the things I want to do, I can't, and the things I don't want to do, I do. And it's no different today, folks. I stand up here today, and I'm going to tell you that I do things I don't want to do, and there are things that I know I should do that I don't. And this is one of those things that, especially coming off of Brother O'Malley this past our missions conference and reaching people. I got convicted. I wanted to reach people. And then I go to work where goodness gracious is just full of sinners. And what am I doing? In my own heart, I'm just ignoring them. I don't want to talk to them. I avoid them. Because I don't like them. But you know what? Having compassion. Man, Jesus had compassion. And I think to myself, man, when I go to work, I want to have compassion. I don't want to get angry. Man, just wicked guy. Sick of being around them. Sick of whatever place. Sick of this. Sick of that. You can get sick and tired of things, but they're still going to be there. Me acting like that is not changing anything. If anything, it's hindering my own spiritual growth. Who's comforted by your faith? How many people have you changed with your faith? For now, verse number 8 says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. You know, as a preacher, as a pastor standing here, I guarantee you there's a liberation when his congregation follows in the preaching of God's word. It says, for now we live. Freedom. Man, we can live. We live. We flourish. We love it. As long as you stand fast in Christ, in the Lord. As a preacher, it is an incredible feeling when someone under your preaching is saved or baptized. And it's obviously it's nothing that we do, but it's of the Lord. But it's an amazing feeling that the Lord uses us to do that. And it's a wonderful thing in the church. But again, going back to verse 7, it's got to happen out there. It's got to happen to the multitude as well. You know, we treat each other so well. And then we go out there and we treat them so bad. And again, I don't know if nobody else needed this, I needed a rehashing. Because this is personal, what the Lord's done in my heart. And it's hard. Sometimes your personal devotions are hard. God just walks all over you. He convicts you. That's the point. That is the point to grow spiritually. And man, this just, it hit me hard, and I thought it might help you. If it didn't, help me again. But comfort others with your faith. What do other people get out of your faith? What does it do for them? Does it give them a desire to have the same faith you do? Or do they look at you and me and say, man, you like this stuck-up guy who never talks to me, never barely looks at me, doesn't say a word. I don't want anything he's got. What is your faith done for someone else lately?
Amen. Little Pharisee of the flesh likes to come up and toss up in his comment. Like, sometimes we get saved and then we act like we have more than it. Like, hey, I've arrived. I've done something. Good for me. I'm better than you. A lot of truth in that. Whether you amen or not, you know that at home. We got saved and we sit a little bit higher on the horse. Like we, listen, I heard somebody say this, the only thing we contributed to salvation was the sin that made it necessary.
Yes,
amen. Brother Caleb, you ready?
Yeah, we're going to go across the whole world preaching the gospel to every creature.
don't do it. How does that look, not only for us as people and as Tabernacle Baptist Church, but to God? Saying, you know, God can save you. You might just need someone to kind of ride along, give you the things to say, and then we disciple them, say, hey, man, we'll be back next week, Saturday at 10 a.m., and you never show back up. What kind of testimony is that leaving for you, for God, for the church? Just a very simple point right there. I hope that was a blessing to you.
Amen. Brother Travis, do you know people?